Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak in the studio along with Frank Elias and Dave Parker. We have a fantastic show lined up for you today. Lee Strobel is going to be here to talk about the new movie, The Case for Christ. This is an unbelievable movie. I'll talk more about it in a minute. But it's the story of somebody, it's a personal story. He was an atheist trying to disprove Christianity, if you can imagine that. He ends up meeting Christ personally, and he converts. So it's an incredible story. Also, Father Jeffrey Kirby will be with us as well. Let's begin the program with prayer, as we always do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this new day. We thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for all of the blessings that you give to us in our lives. Father, we ask you to help us. Help us today to grow closer to you. Help us to communicate hope in a world that very much needs a little bit of hopefulness. Help us, Father, to proclaim your good news and to never lose sight of the fact that you love us. And Father, we ask you to speak through us today on Holy Spirit Radio and Spirit in the Morning so that we can share your message. And of course, open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be able to receive your message. We ask this in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And all together we say, Amen. And that was very powerful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. We are trying something new. I'm broadcasting on Facebook Live as well as over the air on Holy Spirit Radio. Dave Parker is in the studio.
Good morning, Gary.
Dave, you are over. You are outside of camera range. Now, Frank Eliason, you are in within camera range. I did not do this on purpose, but if it was up to me, I would say we are the better looking of the three of us here. Oh, no, there's Parker.
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Hi, Frank. I did put a comment on your Facebook to tell you to get back to work.
Okay. That's so classic. That's so much like
me. Don't add any more. He's trying to get the papers.
I know. See, here's my papers.
He can't look at his feed.
We live in the digital age, and here I have all these papers. Frank, you have no papers. You have your smartphone, which is the way I should be learning to do this, but I still do it
Frank
with papers.
Frank is paperless.
Guys, we have a great show. Father Jeff Kirby is going to join us today. Father is a regular guest on the program. He is going to shed some light on the Blessed Mother, Mary's visit to Elizabeth. What exactly went on there? He's going to inform us. Father is part of a new DVD series, Queen of Heaven, Mary's Battle for You. He's been coming on with us. Always love it when Father Kirby comes on the program. Now, also, I want to talk about Lee Strobel. I am so excited to have him on the show.
So am I.
His journey began in 1980. He is an award-winning investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. His wife converts to Christianity, and Lee is not happy. He's afraid his marriage is crumbling. All of a sudden, this guy Jesus is getting in the way, so he sets out to disprove Christianity, to prove it's all a hoax.
Yeah, a little jealousy going on there.
Yeah, and the movie, and it goes through, he wrote a book about this called The Case for Christ. It was released as a movie. It is now going to be available on DVD on August the 15th. But here's the amazing thing. Lee, in an attempt to prove that Christianity is false, encounters all of the evidence and realizes this evidence is insurmountable. He can't not become a Christian at that point, and he ends up having a conversion, becoming a Christian. And Eileen and I watched the movie yesterday before dinner, which was kind of a mistake. We think, well, let's pop it in and see what happens. We had a postponed dinner. This wow. movie was so powerful. What an incredible story of one man's search to disprove Christianity. Dave Parker, yesterday on the show, you mentioned Saul of Tarsus, another guy who was out to persecute Christians.
Absolutely.
But runs smack into Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus.
Yeah, really. He got knocked off his horse.
Frank and Dave, it's just a reminder. Well, look, I mean, honestly, look at the three of us.
Absolutely.
Why would God choose us, Frank Eliason? I don't know if this is such a good idea because you're management. I don't need to point out my flaws.
I've said it before, though. I think, at least from my perspective and for me, I think he's a comedian.
Yeah,
and you know he's really looking.
He has
some
a great
good
sense
laughs.
Of humor.
We're trying our best, not always intentionally,
but in positions
we're trying.
That like, you know, fine. You want this? Here you go.
Here you go. You think you can handle this? Okay.
But
without me, no. We rely totally on him. Okay. Right, Garrett?
That's right. But what's the really cool thing? The really cool thing is that he can use us. All we need to do is say yes, and he uses us. We are here on the station. We are helping to start your day, get your day started off the right way, and that's what we're trying to do. I want to say one thing. Yesterday, I mentioned our weekly pro-life segment. We do that every Thursday on the program. We have some of the top all-stars in the pro-life movement. The first Thursday of each month, I have somebody from Priests for Life on. I mentioned I was trying to get Alveda King on the program. Well, that is now confirmed. Alveda will be on tomorrow.
Wow.
One of the first questions I'm going to ask her.
I love Alveda King.
She's an amazing witness for life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask her a question. This is a tough question, but it's one that I have heard. Dr. Martin Luther King is her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He was such an outstanding man. Everybody loves him. Everybody saw that he's obviously a man of God. We have the pro-lifers claiming him, that he was pro-life, and we have the pro-abortion people saying, oh, no, wait a minute, he won a Planned Parenthood award. He was not pro-life. I'm going to ask her the question.
Wow.
Was he indeed pro-life?
And you're not going to start small, are you?
No, I mean, because, and the answer is yes, because she has spoken about it before, but
everybody
wants to climb on the Dr. Martin Luther King bandwagon because of the fact that people on both sides of this issue just see him as such a good man of God. And
when I was a youngster, I really followed. He really inspired me.
Yeah.
A lot of reading of his works. Yeah, and well, I'm that old. I go back into the 60s and following the whole movement.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot we can take from his life and what he's done and really start to apply it to today's day and age. I think, you know, we're in such a divided world. We were divided just as much back then.
Right.
And yet he did it from a peaceful perspective, not accusatory, not anything else. And I think if you were to win, you really need to take that. And I think even in the Catholic faith, we need to look at that and say, look at how he evangelized.
Absolutely.
That's right.
You know, he did it from a different perspective. And I think if we did the same thing, it could bring huge success. I think it's easier to go, you're bad or you're this or you're that. But isn't it better for all of us to have a dream?
Absolutely.
That's right. And that's what we try to do here at this station, certainly on this show. I mean, we want to give you the truth, and that's why we do this pro-life segment. I'm sorry, do everything we do on the program. We want to absolutely give you the truth, and we will do that. But in order to give you the truth, you're going to hear us sound very hopeful, very positive. And I am not going to sit here and say I'm going to put a positive spin on the truth. No. The truth is positive. I'm not putting a spin on anything. We are giving you the honest truth. If somebody says, oh, the world's a mess, God, what is God doing? No. God knows what he's doing. Yeah, the world can be a mess, but ultimately God is in charge. We don't need to spin it. He can do whatever he wants. With God, all things are possible. We need to give the truth, right, Frank?
We do, but it's also about our own actions and what we do as opposed to everything else. And I think that's where it comes down to. Pope Francis had a couple tweets yesterday. I'm going to read real fast.
Please do.
Okay.
First one was, like St. Ignatius of Loyola, let us be won over by the Lord Jesus and led by him, place ourselves at the service of others.
Amen.
And so, exactly.
That's what it's about.
That is what it's about. And that's like, you know, as soon as I read it. But then he followed that up with, we effectively do good when we do it without seeking reward and in the concrete situations of everyday life.
Wow.
And, you know, so again, not seeking reward, not doing it about us, not making it about us.
Not attention seeking.
That is correct. And I think oftentimes we're trying, the opposite is what's happening out there. I think there's ways we can live the Catholic faith in different ways that really show the power, and it's doing good for others.
Well, and the word, you said peaceful earlier when talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, but love. It was all in the love of Christ and his wanting to bring it into the world. Love. And that's what the Pope, it's all based in Christ's love.
That's right. And sometimes, if you love somebody, you're going to tell them the truth. Sometimes it can be a little painful, but, you know, I mean, you've got to realize that we've got to always do everything to try to help one another. And that's what we try to do here on the program. We want to help get your day started off on the right way, on the right foot. here at Spirit in the Morning. And if you are not a regular listener or a listenal, as we sometimes.
Wow. Yeah. We're now creating a new language here at Spirit in the Morning.
Hey, sometimes we are.
Guess who is checking in? Adam Kunk. Good morning from Louisiana. We've had Adam on the show. He is the host of the morning show.
Good morning, Adam.
In Lafayette, Louisiana. Adam, how am I doing, brother? This is something new. And Frank, we're trying to convince you to get the camera hooked up in the studio so that we can do this full time. So we can.
Hey, Gary, maybe it is and we don't know it. Maybe he's...
Frank, did you do that to us? The box over there. But anyway, we do actually, for those on Facebook Live, if you like this, we do have a special camera that could actually focus in on Dave, Gary, hopefully not me.
Come on.
Here's Dave Parker right now. We do have Dave in the studio.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Let me know if this is something you like. We already have the camera. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we could put it. I just have to take the time to put it in place and get it all wired up.
Yes, I can see the emails pouring in. We need to see Gary's face every morning. Yeah, right.
What do they say, Coke?
There goes the Three Stooges.
This is what I deal with here at Spirit in the Morning. Pray for me, will you please, out in Facebook land. But when we come back from the break, we are going to be joined by Father Jeff Kirby to talk a little bit about the Blessed Mother. And please, check out this interview with Lee Strobel. I was watching the movie Case for Christ yesterday, and I told my wife, Eileen, I'm actually a little nervous about this because this is a big guest, and I really want to get to the bottom of his conversion and what really sold the deal for him, what made him say, yeah, you know what, Jesus is real.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about...
When was that moment? That aha moment, that epiphanal moment.
So, thanks for joining us on Facebook Live. I'm going to cut the feed in just a minute, but you can continue to listen to the program, even if you're outside of the Philadelphia area, by going to holyspiritradio.org. You also want to keep listening to the rest of the week. Tomorrow, not only will Alveda King join us on the program, but Lisa Hendy will be here. And on Friday, none other than Michael Warsaw, the CEO of EWTN. We'll be right here on Spirit in the Morning. All right, Facebook Live, I'm going to say so long now, but to those of you listening at home, stay tuned. We will be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 2nd. Today we celebrate Saint Eusebius of Vercelli. Eusebius is one of those saints who defended the Church during the 3rd century, one of its most difficult periods. The challenge facing the Church then was the heresy of Arianism, which denied the divinity of Christ. Born around 283 on the island of Sardinia, Eusebius became a member of the Roman clergy and a bishop. He encouraged his diocesan clergy to live in community and did so himself. Pope Liberius delegated Eusebius to help settle the growing split between loyal Catholics and the Arians. Eusebius reluctantly attended the council in Milan, sensing that the Arian bloc would have its way. Although the Catholics were more numerous, the Arians were more powerful, and Eusebius and other bishops loyal to Rome were banished. Eusebius was sent to Palestine. The Arians dragged him through the streets and shut him up in a little room. He was later exiled in Asia Minor and Egypt until the new emperor permitted exiled bishops to return to their sees. Eusebius returned to Vercelli, where he continued his efforts to help heal the Arian conflict. He died there peacefully in 371. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Everyone's telling you to let go.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Giants Fall by Francesca Battistelli. So great to have you with us today. The time now is 7:18. Well, we've been doing a series with Father Jeffrey Kirby about the new DVD program, Queen of Heaven, Mary's Battle for You. Father Kirby joins us once again from Charleston, the Diocese of Charleston, South Carolina, to continue our series about the Blessed Mother. Father Kirby, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Always good to have you on, my friend.
Yes, always good to be here. I'll be on the show. Thank you.
All right, Father. Last time we were taking a look from some episodes in the life of the Blessed Mother. We were talking about the Annunciation, and today I wanted to move on to the Visitation. So I think just to frame this a little bit, Mary gets visited by the angel Gabriel, and he lays on her a pretty big message. You've been chosen to become the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. Mary says, fine with me. And then the angel leaves her, which I always find amazing, Father. The angel leaves after dumping that news on the Blessed Mother, right? But what's incredible is the fact that Scripture tells us in St. Luke's Gospel that with great haste, she went to visit her cousin or kinswoman Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. I always found that amazing that she was able to go and do that. Father, I want to ask you, in Mary's visit to Elizabeth, we are told that John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth. Is there a particular significance to that event?
Absolutely. First of all, just on the very human level, if I could just say that, there's the beautiful symbol of the unborn child. Ooh. In terms of contemporary debate on, preborn life. But more pressing in terms of the scriptures is that John the Baptist leaping in front of, in the presence of Mary and the unborn Jesus is a direct parallel to King David, who, of course, danced before the tabernacle, for the Ark of the Covenant, the Old Testament. So, we see this account in the Old Testament where the Ark is brought. David is filled with joy. He himself exclaims, who am I? That the Ark of my Lord should come to me.
Right.
He's filled with joy and begins to dance. And, of course, Elizabeth says almost the exact same thing, except instead of the Ark, she says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?
Mm.
And, of course, John the Baptist dances. So Luke is obviously drawing a parallel between the two. And Mary, of course, is being hailed in this encounter as the new Ark of the Covenant, the new presence of God, the holder of the presence of God.
That's really powerful. And, when you look at those two stories, the similarities are remarkable. Obviously, that's not just a coincidence.
Exactly right. It's the same region, Ancarim, which is, right outside of the holy city. Exactly. They're both, David stays there 3 months. Luke makes a point to say that Mary stayed there 3 months. So, exactly. I mean, this isn't stretching anything. The two stories are in direct parallel. And as you said, Gary, that is powerful because Luke is showing that Mary is the new Ark. And anyone who has even just a basic knowledge of the Old Testament knows how important the Ark of the Covenant was. I mean, it was the holder of the presence of God on earth.
Wow.
And, of course, we see that was Mary. As Venerable Fulton Sheen said, Our Lady was the only one who could look down at heaven.
Wow.
I think that seeing Mary as a new Ark helps us to understand very significantly her vocation in the life of the Church.
And Father, I wanted to ask you about the fact that John the Baptist leaped in the womb. Now, it's been said that John the Baptist was born without original sin. Does the Church have an official position on that? And is the fact that he leaped in the womb, was this the point where he was sanctified, if you will? Or the original sin was removed? Or what is the Church's official position on this?
Yeah, so actually the Council of Trent taught that. And in terms of our liturgical life, at least traditionally, only three birthdays were celebrated by the church, mm-hmm. actual birthdays,
which, right.
of course, Our Lord, Our Lady, and John the Baptist, because all three were born without sin.
Wow.
Most saints, their feast day is the day they died, which is their birthday into eternal life.
Mm.
And so, yeah, we hold it what we call prevenient grace, and what that basically means is that the soul received the effects of Calvary, which is redemption, before the historical event actually happened. So God, outside of time, took the grace and bestowed it upon the individual so that they could fulfill their vocation,
mm-hmm.
and the work of redemption could happen. So John the Baptist, he was conceived with sin.
Okay.
So he's not like Our Lady.
Right.
But in this moment where he leaped, his sin was washed. So it's actually also a dance of freedom.
Wow.
He's cleansed from sin, so he's born without sin so that he can fulfill his vocation as the last Old Testament prophet and the one who was to immediately prepare for the coming of the Christ.
Father, what does this visit of Mary with Elizabeth mean for Christian discipleship? Is there a meaning there?
I think there are several lessons. First, I think it's very significant, as you pointed out in the lead-in, that Our Lady went in haste.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You know, spiritual wisdom tells us slow obedience is disobedience.
Wow.
And and Our Lady went quickly. She went there because obviously she wanted to share good news and hear good news, but also she heard of a need. Here's an older woman who's going to have a baby. She goes in order to provide help.
Yeah.
I think it's a definite summons to all of us to greater charity. To first of all, be attentive to the needs of others. I mean, how many of us would help if we just saw it, right?
And right.
Yet, mm-hmm. we could be desensitized.
So, oh, yeah.
First of all, to see it and then to do something, whatever we can. And sometimes that's just what the Teresa of Calcutta used to say, you know, sometimes all we can give is a smile.
Mm.
And, you know, but we give what we can
right.
in the situation.
Right. Father, in your opinion, when Mary heard the news from Gabriel that her relative Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, do you think that's the first time she heard that news?
Yes, and this is a...
Because I've always wondered about that. Is this the first, you know, is she just hearing this in the midst of everything else and then gets beyond all of the confusion in her own life, what she has just been asked to do, and says, well, you know what, since I know now that Elizabeth needs me, I better go and help her.
Yes, actually, Gary, it's a great point because, of course, you know, doctrinally we don't have anything, but there are strands in the tradition that... you know, Zechariah may have told her because we know that he could communicate.
Oh, okay.
He could have written,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
We also, and you know, to the degree that maybe Zechariah was made aware of something beyond what is recorded in the scriptures, there's a strand as well that an angel visits Elizabeth,
mm.
you know, and much of this is, again, more in the mystical tradition, and told Elizabeth, you know, because when Mary arrives, you know, I mean, Mary's only 3 months, so she may not even been showing, or could have been, especially with the robes and stuff at
sure.
that time, how Elizabeth knew that Our Lady was pregnant, and pregnant with, you know, the Messiah. So something had to happen. So the mystical tradition would indicate that an angel had appeared to Elizabeth. First of all, to tell her that she would be pregnant.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. almost like a New Testament parallel to Sarah in the Old Testament, but also that the Christ was coming.
Father, I really want to thank you for joining us once again to talk about this new DVD series, Queen of Heaven, Mary's Battle for You. In the under a minute that we have left, can you tell us where we can get a copy of it, where we can find out more about your work, and then if that's not enough, can you give us a blessing?
Excellent. Yes. So, best resource in terms of this program is the publisher, St. Benedict Press.
Okay.
To their website, which is tambooks.com. Also, in terms of my own work and so on, to my website, frkirby.com. And there's a lot of videos and various things, resources that um, if someone's not interested in the program but just wants to learn a little bit about the faith,
okay,
that could be a good resource to them.
Great, so. Great. Now, how about a quick blessing?
All right. Excellent. May Almighty God, I bless you, may he let his face shine upon you, and he bless you, he who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Good timing, Father. I knew you'd come through under pressure. Father Jeff Kirby, thanks again for joining us. FRKirby.com is the place to go. Back with Lee Strobel.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The family of a slain Democratic National Committee staffer has issued a statement supporting a lawsuit brought against Fox News by an investigator who had been looking into the killing of Seth Rich. The suit alleges that the White House and Fox News Channel conspired to push a false story about Democratic leaks and the unsolved killing of Rich in order to distract attention from the Russia investigation. Charlie Gard, the 11-month-old boy who died from a rare genetic disease late last week, was baptized before his death. The fight over the boy's care between his parents, who wanted him moved to the United States for experimental treatment, and the hospital, which advocated that he be allowed to die, gained international attention, including from Pope Francis and President Trump. The Catholic News Agency reports that Charlie, who would have turned a year old on Friday, was baptized earlier this year and photographed holding a St. Jude medal in his hand. And Amazon is holding a giant job fair and plans to make thousands of job offers on the spot at nearly a dozen U.S. warehouses. The hiring spree is a sign of Amazon's growth at a time when traditional retailers are closing stores and cutting jobs. Nearly 40,000 of the 50,000 packing, sorting, and shipping jobs will be full-time. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Fight!
Man, that was Natalie Grant with Hurricane. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Lee Strobel is the former award-winning legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. He's the best-selling author of more than 20 books. And for the last 25 years, he has shared the evidence that supports the truth and the claims of Christianity. But that wasn't always the case. Lee Strobel joins us now to talk about the movie version of his book, The Case for Christ. Lee, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Man, I am good. The first thing I want to tell you, Lee, is I have a bone to pick with you before we start. My wife and I popped in an advanced copy of the movie yesterday. We have the DVD. It was right before dinner. Lee, because of this movie, it was so compelling. Dinner was late. We just couldn't turn it off, my friend. What a great story. You know, so many people, Lee, know of your journey, but could you give us just in case somebody out there is listening, sure, doesn't know your story, when you look at your life, you're a very unlikely person to be spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, right, based on your past.
Yeah, I'm an unlikely candidate, I suppose you could say. Yeah, I was a journalist at the Chicago Tribune, a legal editor of the newspaper. I was an atheist, living a very self-centered, self-absorbed, hedonistic, immoral life. Mm. My wife was agnostic, but through a nurse who we met, who was a Christian, who reached out to my wife, Leslie, and kind of mentored her spiritually, Leslie came to faith, and I thought that was the worst possible news because I thought I was going to lose her to this cult of Christianity. And I set out to use my journalism training and legal training to disprove the resurrection of Jesus because I knew that if I could knock the legs out of that, the whole thing would come tumbling down. And then as I pursued the evidence, just as I would any major story for the Chicago Tribune, interviewing scholars and doing research, I was shocked to discover the extremely strong historical case that Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, but he backed up that claim by returning from the dead. And ultimately, it brought me to faith. In God's great sense of humor, many years later, ended up leaving journalism to spend my time telling others about Jesus.
Now, I want to ask you, I have so many things I want to ask you. The first thing that we've got many listeners who, this happens all the time, their spouse may be at a different place spiritually, maybe they've had a conversion. That was a tough one for you, wasn't it? When here you are, an atheist, your wife finds Jesus. How do you deal with that, Lee? What would you say to somebody who might be struggling with that same situation?
It's a very difficult situation because every aspect of our life was up in the air. The way, you know, how are we going to raise our kids? How are we going to spend our weekends? How are we going to spend our money? Everything became a point of contention because our values were suddenly changing. Mm-hmm. Our worldviews were changing, and it caused conflict in every aspect of our marriage. Leslie and I actually wrote a book about this called Spiritual Mismatch. Which is has our advice of what to do in these kind of situations. I think real quickly, the three quick things to do if you're a Christian in that situation, build your relationship with God because he's the one who's going to change you in a way that your spouse is going to find attractive ultimately. Second, build a relationship with your spouse. You got married for a reason, so build on those commonalities so that this mismatch doesn't spin your marriage out of control. And then third, build a relationship with a mentor, someone who, of the same gender, who is a more mature Christian, who can pray with you, who can encourage you, who can give you advice. That's what Leslie did with her friend in the movie. Her name is Alfie. In real life, it's Linda.
Okay.
And Linda really got her through these tough times.
Now, let's talk about atheism a little, if we could. Now, I am somebody who has always been a believer. I was baptized a Catholic when I was an infant, so I never would consider myself an atheist. And I hear that term, atheist, and I picture the person dressed all in black who is spewing hate and venom. Yeah. But I would contend that there are different degrees of atheism. Yeah. And I think, Lee, and correct me if I'm wrong, that even though I never I never disbelieved and never doubted that Christ exists. I think we all have areas of atheism in our lives, thinking that, well, God can't help my finances or God can't do anything about my marriage. Would you agree that there's different levels of atheism?
Yeah, I think there's true. I think there's pockets of our lives that often we don't want to trust to God fully because we don't fully trust in Him. And, you know, there are atheists who will say, I do not believe that God exists, which is an odd position to take because you pretty much have to be God to understand the world enough to understand that God doesn't exist.
Right.
Or there are those who define it as, I just lack a God belief. That's called soft atheism.
Okay.
Which makes no sense. That means my couch is an atheist because it lacks a God belief.
Wow. Know,
like,
wow.
My cat is an atheist because he lacks a God belief. It doesn't. Yeah, I think that's a cop out. You know, when I was an atheist back in, you know, what was it now, many years ago, it was an embarrassing thing. As you say, there were these images of, you know, atheists were terrible people. Nowadays, because of the growth of new atheism, it's the fashionable thing to do. I was at an event the other day. We were showing this movie at our church, the Case for Christ film. And this girl came up to me. She was probably no older than 9 years old. And she says she's an atheist.
Wow!
Because they've popularized the term now. And frankly, she wasn't an atheist. I'm sure she's probably spiritually confused. But people who don't have a Christian faith these days will often call themselves atheists. But we shouldn't jump to the conclusion that they've thought all this through and they've somehow shot it down and are against Christianity. It's more likely they're just spiritually confused and they're using that term because it's culturally popular these days to use it.
Right, right. And all the more reason for us to be very anxious about sharing the good news, right? We live in a world where it's okay to be an atheist now. We want to make sure that we get Jesus out into the world, right, brother?
Right.
Yeah, Lee, here's something that came to me. I've got a relatively long drive to this station, about an hour and 15 minutes, and I talked to Jesus the whole way up in the car. Now, today I'm praying, and all of a sudden these thoughts keep popping into my head, these things I have to take care of, distractions, and things that get in the way of my conversation with Christ. Yep. Now, certainly you've been a believer for many years. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No problem there. But is there anything that you still struggle with on a day-to-day basis that maybe like gets in the way sometimes that you have to overcome in your relationship to grow closer to Christ?
Yeah, for me, as a writer who I'm working on currently on a new book, and so I tend to be very involved with writing that book, and the danger is that I replace my normal devotional life with the book research and everything, because after all, it is Christian, and it is about God, and I neglect a broader devotional life that is a healthier, more holistic a prayer life with God. That often happens to priests who are, you know, they're preparing a homily or a talk they're going to do for the weekend, and they make that kind of their devotional life rather than just an aspect of a broader relationship with God. So sometimes we can kind of get sidetracked a bit or funneled into an area that is probably not the healthiest for us, and I think we have to maintain that broader view, as you were saying, to have a time every day where we can spend with God and bring Him all aspects of our life.
Right.
And to do that, you know, I like the image of just doing that in the car. I mean,
it works for me.
Yeah, I got a friend who just wrote a book called "Praying with Your Eyes Wide Open." And the idea is we can pray all through the day.
Yeah.
We can have an ongoing conversation with God all through the day. We don't necessarily have to close our eyes in a corner and spend 15 minutes every morning. That's right. Great to do, but right. You know what? We can continue this conversation with God all through the day.
And we want to do it whether or not we're busy. I think so many times we get caught up in, well, I'm busy and, you know, I can't do it. No, we have to make time for prayer, and that's what I was trying to make out, wanted to make clear. Lee, we have just about a minute left, and I wanted, before I let you go, and first of all, thank you so much for coming on
sure.
the show, but I want to ask you very quickly, was there one piece of evidence that you encountered that really pushed you over the edge when you were trying to disprove Christianity?
Yeah, there was. I mean, you know, you look at the evidence for the resurrection. The evidence
right.
that Jesus was executed is overwhelming. Probably the most powerful bit of evidence, I think, is the existence of an ancient creed of the church that was developed within months of the death of Jesus that
wow.
confirms that Jesus died. Why? For our sins. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. Then it mentions specific names of eyewitnesses and groups of eyewitnesses to whom he appeared, including 500 people at once.
Wow.
And
wow.
this creed, which we can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting verse 3, has been dated back by scholars to within months of the death of Jesus. So
powerful.
This idea that the resurrection is a legend doesn't hold
right.
water, because that's much too quick developed historically to be legendary.
Powerful stuff. Lee Strobel, thecaseforchristmovie.com is the website. Lee, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. God bless you.
God Great bless chance. You as well. Keep up the good work, my friend.
You too.
Thank you, brother. Lee Strobel, go to thecaseforchristmovie.com to find out more about the movie.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 15:26, when Jesus promised the Advocate, he then warned the disciples that they would be expelled from the synagogues. The hour would come when they would be killed as an act of worship by ignorant people. Now, why does God allow this to be so? Why not have everyone be of an accepting mindset? But such is not God's design. He did not program us to be benign automatons. We can kill the apostles and the prophets who came before them. We can even persecute and put to death the Son of God. Who is this unfathomable being that he allows such evil to rear its wrath upon the sacred? He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who transcend the universe and yet are imaged in our very DNA. Because we know the Father and the Son, we revel in such mystery. The Spirit has indeed breathed on us. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Stand right now, everything is crashing down, and I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray, I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear my heart.
No.
And that was Broken Hallelujah by The Afters. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. I want to thank Lee Strobel and Father Jeff Kirby for joining us on the program today. I want to get to a couple things I want to get to before we close out the show. The first is the Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. It comes from Mark 14:36. And I want this to go out to you, anybody who might be struggling. You're struggling with some sort of a problem today. I want you to hear these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but you will." But what you will. There are three important things that you need to get out of this verse. And I think these words of Jesus are so powerful. The first thing is that Jesus addresses his Father with the familiar term Abba, which equates to the English equivalent would be daddy or dad. So that's a really intimate relationship. All things are possible to you. So Jesus acknowledges that to God, all things are possible. Don't forget that today. I don't know what you're struggling with, but whatever it is, all things are possible for God. The second thing is, it is okay for you to ask the Lord to take away what you're struggling with, because that's exactly what Jesus did here. But the third thing, and this is most important, is to remember that sometimes God in his love, and yeah, I did say his love, will say no. Sometimes God will have to say no to you. Why? Not because he wants to be mean, but because he loves you. But just have that as your intention when you pray. That, Lord, take this away from me because it's really killing me, but not as I will, but your will be done. And when you do that, you will find a lot of peace in your life. Now, the other piece of business that I wanted to make sure I did today, because our first segment was a little crazy, was the gospel. Let me read the gospel today. From Luke chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field again. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys it." Now, if you listen to that last interview with Lee Strobel, you see this. You see the story of a man who set out to prove that Christianity was false. It's all false. Got to disprove Jesus because Jesus is getting in the way of my marriage. That was his intent. His intent wasn't good. But look what happened. Just like St. Paul on the road to Damascus, he encountered Jesus Christ and everything changed. That's what we need to remember today. We all have that ability to encounter Christ in our lives. Do we take it seriously? Are we grateful for that opportunity? Are we grateful for the fact that he is present in our lives? Just something to think about today. You know, so many times we get caught up in our problems. We feel sorry for ourselves. I do it too. Feel sorry. I was feeling sorry for myself yesterday. And honestly, I popped in Lee Strobel's movie, The Case for Christ, and it completely changed my attitude. I highly recommend that movie, by the way. It's going to be available on DVD on August the 15th. I will have the link for the Case for Christ movie on spiritinthemorning.com. Final thing I wanted to say, and I want to speak directly to you listening to the program, I want to let you know, and I was praying on the way up, as I was mentioning when I was talking to Lee Strobel, praying on the way up, these thoughts popped into my head. I just want to let you know how grateful I am that you're a listener to this program. It means so much to me that you come and you listen to the program. And the other thing is, when I asked you on Friday, I said, I'm going to speak directly to you. and asked you to help us financially at the station. You know, I don't ask you this very much, but I said, I don't ask you for much, but if you could help us, because we want to take this program, Spirit in the Morning, to the next level. You responded. So I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you not only for showing up and listening to the program every day, but for responding to our needs. We are a nonprofit here at Holy Spirit Radio, and we do depend on your donations. So thank you. Please continue to keep that in mind and help us as we take this to the next level. We really want to get this message of hope out into the world. And on a personal level, I am dedicated to this. I am so grateful to be a part of this station. I'm grateful to have people like Dave Parker and Frank Eliason by my side who support me at Holy Spirit Radio.
Thank you, Gary.
And who let me do what I do. And my goal is to help you grow closer to Christ today. And that's why we have these guests on. Lee Strobel, Father Kirby tomorrow, Alveda King, Lisa Henley, Friday, Michael Warsaw, Patrick Rice from a new EWTN radio series that debuted last week on Holy Spirit Radio. All of these guests are brought on the show to help us, and I say us, meaning me too, to draw closer to Christ. That's why we're here. We're here to give you hope. And as I said at the start of the show, this is total reality. I'm not spinning anything. This is the truth. The truth is God is all-powerful. He loves you, and he wants to help you. He wants to be a part of your daily life. Don't forget that. Don't shut him out. Accept his offer. He wants to be your friend. So today, say, Lord, I need your help. I want to be your friend, too. Will you do that for me? We are just about out of time. Dave Parker, I want to thank you for bearing
welcome,
with
Gary.
Me as I talk to my
amen,
friends.
Brother. That was beautiful.
You know what? We love being here. Dave, you get up bright and early to be here, too. It's not easy for any of us. We are here because we love doing what we do. We love being a part
amen
of the
again.
Show.
Yeah.
And
praise
we,
God.
We are so grateful to have you as a listener. Before we run out of time, I want to tell you, remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, and I mean whatever you do, the Lord is right by your side. Make sure you turn around and say, hey, Lord, what's up? Until next time, this is Gary Zimak saying God bless you. Thanks for listening.